Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Bereshus the Rebbetzin. I really want to begin by saying what a privilege it is to be here on a variety of different levels. First of all, to be able to participate in this beautiful event honoring our beloved sister-in-law Rachel, who is such an incredible part of our mishpacha. You know, my brother and sister-in-law moved back from Eretz Yisrael just a short little while ago, and I know that it was definitely an incredible adjustment for their mishpacha, and I'm sure something that impacts their lives to this very day. But on a more global mishpacha level, how privileged and how happy we are to have them each and every day within our lives, just a few moments drive from my parents, just a few states away from us, but certainly shorter than a plane ride. And it's been beautiful to see how both my brother, my sister, and their mishpacha have already begun to make an incredible, indelible mark on this community, on the yeshiva, on other mostos in this community. And so I guess I would begin just with a birchas hedyot, a simple bracha to Rachel, to my brother Dov, that they should continue to raise their mishpacha with the incredible, beautiful hisolus of Yaakov Sava Kadisha, continue to mekadesh shem shamayim, continue to build community, contribute to community, as Rebbetzin just said so beautifully, continue to create an atmosphere of ruchnius in this Eretz Goshen until the coming of Mashiach. It's also very special to come because the truth is, it's funny, every time I come to this shul, we were here about a year ago. I grew up in East Brunswick, New Jersey, and when I was growing up, this shul was in the gym of RPRY. And so it's always beautiful to come and to see how the community has expanded, how the community has grown, how the community really has become. It was always vibrant and always beautiful, but it really is incredible to see just how many more mostos there are, how many incredible mechanchim, melamdim, rabbeim, rashi yeshiva, rabbanim, and it's always incredibly beautiful to come back and to be able to see just the magnificent spiritual growth. So, B'shus the Rebbetzin, I want to share with you a very short idea. I was told that in New Jersey, speakers speak a lot shorter. That's what the organizers told me. But I'll share with you a short idea. And it's a short idea based on the coming week's parasha. There's an incredible exchange in the beginning of Parashas Vayechi. And it's a dramatic exchange. The truth is, we've all been following these parashas, and we know that these parashas in Bereishis are some of the most emotionally overwhelming parashios. Yosef first being stripped of his clothing and dignity, sold like a piece of chattel, finding his way down to Egypt, the peaks and valleys of Egypt, the reunification with the brothers. And then at the beginning of Parashas Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu realizing that his days are numbered. And he reaches out to Yosef with one final request, Anot tekbereni b'mitzrayim. Do not bury me in Egypt, but I want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. I want to go back to Maras HaMachpelah. And again, you see in an incredible exchange, Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, even though I didn't bury your mother in Maras HaMachpelah, I did not take her to Hebron for a proper burial. She was buried on the side of the road. I'm asking you to bring me back all the way home. And again, we see the emotions on so many different levels. And perhaps the parsha really comes to its apex when Yaakov Avinu stands ready to bless his grandchildren. He stands ready to bless the children of Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim. And before he says the famous bracha of Yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim uchi Menashe, Yaakov Avinu says something else. And he says something that most of us recite each and every night before we go to sleep. Each and every night as part of Kriya Shema Alamita. Yaakov Avinu says, this is in Perek Memches, Pasuk Tezayin, Hamalach ha-goel osimi kora, yivarech es ha-ne'arim v'ikari bahem shemi v'shem avosai, Avraham v'yitzchak v'yidgul arov bekeref ha-aretz. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'll translate it for you. Hamalach ha-goel osimi kora, the angel which redeems me from all evil, yivarech es ha-ne'arim, should redeem the young men, v'ikari bahem, or should bless the young men, v'ikari bahem shemi v'shem avosai, call upon them my name, the name of my forefathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, and they should be fruitful and multiply in the midst of the land. An incredibly beautiful bracha. This precedes the Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Chimenashe. Yaakov Avinu saying to Yosef, giving an incredible bracha, Yaakov Avinu recognizing Yosef's role as the Bechar,
Because remember, Yosef was the firstborn of Rachel Imenu, the intended wife of Yaakov Avinu, or at least the woman who Yaakov Avinu thought he was supposed to marry first. And it's here in this pasuk, it's here in these psukim, that Yaakov Avinu recognizes the central role of Yosef and his children for coming generations. And there's something about this pasuk. It's so incredibly important that not only do we have it as part of Kriyas Torah, but as I just mentioned before, it's part of codified prayer. This is part, we say this every single night before we go to sleep. Our Torah is replete with incredible moving verses. The Tanakh, Tehillim, Mishlei, Koheles, Shir HaShirim, there is no shortage of beautiful verses that we could recite before retiring for the night. But yet again, this pasuk was chosen. Hamalach HaGoel Osimi Korah Yivarech Es HaNa'arim. But in order to understand the importance and centrality of the pasuk, we have to ask a simple question. What's the simple question? We're closing down the smorgasbord until someone answers the question. The simple question is, who's the malach? Who's the angel? Hamalach hagoel osi mikol ra, the angel who redeems me from all evil things. Who is this malach that Yaakov Avinu is referring to? And so the Mefarshim go in many different directions. Rashi HaKadosh understands, malach harogil ishtaleach elai b'tzarasi. That apparently Yaakov Avinu, there was a malach, there was an angel, which God dispatched to Yaakov Avinu every single time he was in trouble. So that malach who's been by my side throughout the ages, throughout these years, throughout all the tumultuous events of my existence, Yaakov Avinu is giving the bracha. The malach, the angel who guided me throughout my difficulties, should guide you, Yosef, should guide your children, and your children's children for generations to come. Other of the commentaries explain that no, the malach is actually a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we see this, without getting too in-depth into this, but we see that sometimes the Ribon Shel Olam, God himself, is referred to as a malach. So Yaakov Avinu is not referring to an angel, he's referring to God. But I want to share with you an incredible insight by the Shaddal. The Shaddal was of Shmuel David Lutzato. He was the great-grandson of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, of course, the Mechaber of the Mesilas Yesharim. And the Shaddal Shmuel David Lutzato, who lived from 1800 to 1865, advances an incredibly novel and overwhelming idea. I'm going to quote it to you. He says, V'amar, Ki Yaakov kina es Yosef bikinoi hamalach hagoel osimi kora. Listen to these words. Right, so Shmuel David Lutzato, that the malach that Yaakov Avinu was referring to was not an angel. It was not a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So who was it? It was Yosef. Yaakov Avinu turned to his beloved son and he says to him, hamalach hagoel osimi kora. You, my Yosef, you are the angel who redeemed me, who saved me from so many difficult things. Bekinui hamalach hagoel osimi kora. You are the malach, Yosef. You are the angel. So understand what Yaakov Avinu is saying to his beloved son. Saying, you said, Yosef, you know, children often reflect on, hopefully children reflect on everything their parents do for them. Yaakov Avinu was saying, allow me to take a moment to reflect on everything you, Yosef, have done for me. Yosef, you have been my inspiration. Yosef, you have been my salvation. Yosef, my beloved son, you are the Malach HaGoel Osi Mikora. You are the angel who has redeemed me from all terrible things. You are the inspiration. You are the light in my life. You are the source of luminescent salvation, Yosef. That's what you are to me. And the question is obvious. What does that mean? What is it about Yosef that allowed Yosef to be a source of luminescent inspiration and salvation for his beloved aging father? Can you imagine what this means? Yaakov Avinu was one of the Avos, one of the patriarchs. Not only that, but Chazal tell us Yaakov Avinu is called the Bechir Sheba Avos. He was the best of the patriarchs. And yet Yaakov Avinu was saying, Yosef, do you want to know from where I glean my life inspiration? Do you want to know from where I glean hope? From where I glean light when life is otherwise dark? I turn to you, my son. You, Yosef, are my inspiration. You, Yosef, are my Hamalach HaGoel Osi Mikora. And what I'd like to try to explore this morning, just for a few minutes, is what was this strength of Yosef? What made Yosef so unique? What made Yosef so special? What were Yosef's defining characteristics that allowed him to serve as a source of salvation and inspiration for Yaakov, and by extension serve as a source of salvation, inspiration for us? And so this morning I'd like to share with you three short lessons that I think we learn from the life of Yosef HaTzadik. Lesson number one. When Yosef is blessed with two sons in the land of Egypt, so the Torah records that he names them. And the Torah writes, Vayikra Yosef es shem habachor Menashe. Yosef named his elder son Menashe. Why? What's the root of Menashe? The meaning of Menashe? Kinashani Elokim es kol amaliv es kol beisavi. God has allowed me to forget all of the suffering of, or all of my suffering, all of my trials and tribulations, and my father's home. And then he has a second son. Ve'es shem hasheni kara Ephraim. Ki Ephrani Elokim be'eretz anyi. The second son is named Ephraim, because God has made me fruitful. God has made me successful in the land of my suffering. And the Mefarshim and the commentaries all ask a simple, basic question. We would have thought that the names would have been reversed. Name the first son Ephraim. God has made me successful, even in the land of my affliction. And therefore the second son Menashe, as a result of my newfound success, I've been able to forget about the difficulties, the tragedies, and the setbacks of my past. That's how we would have normally assumed the progression works. Yosef is a man who experienced so much trauma in life. And we would have thought that the only way to get past that trauma is for him to experience blessing. Once you have blessing, then you could let go of the trauma of the past. But Yosef teaches us something dramatically different. That if you want to be successful in life, you have to identify the things which are holding you back, and you have to find the courage to let them go. Because each of us have things in life which are holding us back. For some of us, it's past life failures, personal failures. Some of us, failed relationships. For others, it's grief. For others, it's trauma. I don't have to go through the whole list, because we know the list of things that we all have to deal with in life. We know all the things which we carry around in our life peckle. And so Yosef HaTzadik teaches us an incredible, incredible lesson. We all have something in life which holds us back. The question is, are you willing to let it go? You know, it's an interesting thing about baggage. All of us have baggage. You know what the difference is? Some of us just have a carry-on. Many of us have to pay for an extra suitcase. And some of us have to hire a porter. But all of us schlep around the baggage in life. And you know what happens? You know, like the big bracha, you know, when you take that vacation with your family and you're packing and you're getting everything ready, and then, you know, if a little while later, maybe you just go away alone with your spouse. And the most liberating feeling is, with the kids, right, everybody, there's 57 suitcases. And then when you feel that liberating feeling of going away, and all you have is, mamish, each of you have a little bag, you feel like the weight of the world is lifted off your shoulders. We all schlep around baggage in life. And at some point in time, you have to ask yourself a simple question. Are you ready to check your baggage? Or do you want to carry it around with you for the rest of your life? But that is a choice. And if you want to schlep your baggage around with you, understand, that is not something that someone has foisted upon you. That is a choice you make yourself. If you want to schlep your suitcases filled with all of your traumas, all of your letdowns, all of the crushed realizations, that's a choice you make to schlep that around. And understand, if you make that choice, you can't travel as far, and you can't travel as fast. And Yosef HaTzadik teaches us that sometimes the greatest life courage is to say, the past is the past. The baggage is the baggage. I'm checking it. I'm letting go of it. And I'm moving forward. Yosef names his first son. Kinashani Elokim Eskol Ma'ali Veskol Beis Avi. See, Yosef says, do you want to know why I was successful in Egypt? Because I forgot about the pain of my past. Now let's be honest. Did Yosef forget about the pain of his past? No. But what he did is, at least for a little while, he checked the baggage. I can't deal with this. I can't relive these traumas all the time. I can't feel rejected anymore. This is my life. These are my circumstances. This is my reality. And if I have a choice, I can either maximize them, I can either find a way to make the most of them, or I could simply lament all of the baggage that I'm carrying around for the rest of my life. Yosef, through the naming of his sons, teaches us this most incredible lesson. Sometimes you have to forget in order to go on and be successful. Sometimes you have to check the baggage of the past in order to be able to build a bright and beautiful future. You know, there's an incredible medrash. The medrash writes, this is in Bereishis Rabba. I'm just going to quote to you part of it. The medrash says, Kivan Shenivra HaBarzel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created iron. So the medrash says, Hischilu ha'ilonos mirasasim. The trees began to tremble. Why did the trees begin to tremble? Because again, if there's iron, then you can make an axe. And if you can make an axe, you could chop down the trees. So the trees begin to tremble. Oy vavoy, the end is here. And listen to this medrash. Amar lahem malachem mirasasim. So the iron says to the trees, why are you all fearful? Why are you all upset? Eitz mikem al yikanes bi, ve'ein echad mechem nizok. You know, the axe could only chop down the tree if the axe has a handle. And the handle comes from the tree. So the iron says to the tree, don't give the axe head a handle, and it can't chop you down. What an incredible metaphor for life. The top of the axe, those are the things which try to chop us down in life. Those are the tragedies, trials, and tribulations of our past. That's all the baggage we schlep around. That's the head of the axe. But that head could only chop us down if we give it the handle. If we allow it to be part of our present. And if we allow it to be part of our future. The axe head could be as sharp as it wants. But if I don't insert the handle, it cannot and will not hurt me. This is lesson number one from the life of Yosef. Find the courage to check the baggage of the past in order to be able to create a beautiful and luminescent future. Lesson number two. Another amazing exchange that happened just in this past week's parsha, Parshas Vayigash. Yosef drops the bombshell on Yosef ha'od avichai. I am Yosef, is my father still alive? And then something amazing happens. The brothers are understandably overwhelmed. And so Yosef begins to talk to them. Vayomer Yosef, alech of Gishuna, come closer to Gishuna, I like, come closer to me. And he says again, ani Yosef, achicham Hashem, achartem osi mitzrayimah. I'm Yosef, you know, remember me, you sold me to Egypt. And then Yosef goes on and he says, va'ata al te'atzvu. Don't be sad. Don't be sad about what happened. Va'al yichar be'enechem ki machartem osi. Do not be upset that you sold me. Why? Ki lemichya shalachani elokim lifneichem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me to provide for the family, not just for the family, but to provide for much of the civilized world during these years of famine. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Livracha makes an amazing observation. He says, what's going on over here? Yosef is comforting his brothers. Al te'atzvu, guys, don't be upset. What? You shouldn't be upset that you sold me? And furthermore, the Rebbe says, Yosef says the same thing over and over and over. He says, you didn't sell me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. And says the Rebbe, in classic Lubavitch Chabad style, you know what Yosef was saying? I'm on shlichus, as they say. I'm on shlichus. Yosef understood that he had a choice. He could view himself as being sold, or he could view himself as being sent. And Yosef says to his brothers, you think you sold me here? Nope. You didn't sell me here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me here. Because what Yosef HaTzadik understood is that every single circumstance in which we find ourselves in life, the good ones and the not so good ones, even if you're not a Lubavitcher, you're on shlichus. Every single circumstance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in is necessary for our self-actualization, is necessary for our growth, is necessary for us to be able to find our true destiny. We're never sold into anything. We never get lost and wind up somewhere. Every single circumstance in which we find ourselves in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us there at that moment to accomplish that one thing. You know, there's an incredible and moving exchange in Megillas Esther. Mordechai says to Esther Amalka, this is when the decree of Haman first comes out, and he sends message to Esther, Esther, please go, advocate for us on behalf of the king. Remember again, what does Esther Amalka say? What does she say? She says essentially no. But you know, like a lot of times when people ask you for a favor and you don't really want to do it, but you don't want to say no, so you say no, but instead of just saying no, it takes about 3.5 minutes. And the person says, I'm pretty sure he said no, why don't you just say no? Esther Amalka says no. Says no. And remember again, what does Mordechai HaTzadik say to her? Mordechai says, Esther, it's okay. If you decide not to do this, Ravach Vatzala Yamol Yudim Makom Acher, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need us. If God wants to provide salvation, He'll provide salvation. But at the end of his speech to Esther, he says, Umi Yodea, Im La'is Kazo Sigat L'Malchus. And who knows, maybe this is the moment why you became queen. And the Malbim comments on this and he says something amazing. He says, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in this world to accomplish one thing in one moment. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about multiple generations just to bring about one person to accomplish one thing in one moment. And if you miss your moment, you deny meaning to your life and potentially for the generations who came before you. And what Yosef HaTzadik was telling his brothers is that there is no such thing. You know, sometimes we wind up at dead ends in life. Sometimes we wind up in situations that we're very exceptionally unhappy with. And very often we assume that we're there because we made some significant mistakes. And sometimes we do get ourselves into life trouble because of bad decisions, because of wrong mistakes. But even in those moments, when you find yourself in a dead end in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yosef HaTzadik tells us, remember, you were not sold, you were sent. Every situation in which we find ourselves, we need to be there. There's some way to grow. There's something to do. There's some element of self-actualization that has to be accomplished, that can only be accomplished in that moment. Yosef says to his brothers, you think you sold me. You didn't sell me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. Lesson number two from Yosef HaTzadik is every circumstance in which we find ourselves in life, we have not been sold, we have been sent. There's purpose in all of our circumstances. There's purpose in the simchas, and there's purpose in the tzaras. There's purpose in the peaks, and there's purpose in the valleys. Every single circumstance we find ourselves in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has something for us to discover about ourselves, about our world, and about our destiny. Sometimes when we find ourselves in those difficult situations, we spend all of our time and energy lamenting the negativity of our circumstances instead of realizing, Lo atem machartani, machartem osi, you didn't sell me, but rather again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. Ki lemichya shalachani Elokim lifneichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us to all of our life circumstances so that we can grow, that we could accomplish, and that we could self-actualize. And the final lesson, lesson number three. If you go back even a little earlier in the parashios, Yosef, when he first sees his brothers, of course, before he reveals his identity, so the brothers come, they bow down to Yosef. They're just come to Egypt for food. That's all they want. And the Torah says something amazing. Vayiskar Yosef es hachalamos asher chalam lahem. Yosef remembered his dreams. The brothers are bowing down, and Yosef remembers his dreams. And we remember Yosef's dreams. Yosef's dreams, we know, were earlier on in Chumash Bereishis. And Yosef dreamt two dreams. Dream number one was that all of the sheaves were arranged in the field, and all of the sheaves were bowing down to Yosef. And dream number two was the sun, the moon, the stars were bowing down to Yosef. And Rav Soloveitchik explains so beautifully that the message of those dreams, the dream of the wheat, represented financial success. Grain represents financial success. The dream of the stars, the moon, represents spiritual success. Yosef HaTzadik, as a young man, had dreams that he was going to be incredibly materially successful. He was going to be wealthy, to be accomplished, but to be the kind of person, when blessed with the bracha of wealth, that he wasn't just going to plow his resources into himself, but he was going to become the great sustainer. But he didn't just dream about money. He didn't just dream about grain. He dreamt about the sun, the moon, and the stars. He dreamt about Ruchnius. He dreamt about the Tevekis, about connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so when the brothers come along, and they bow down to Yosef, it says, Yosef remembered his dream. Vayiskar Yosef es achalamos asher chalam. And I always found this pasuk incredibly amazing. Because the Torah is not, why did Torah tell me this? The Yosef remembered his dream is very nice. Torah is telling us something so much deeper. That despite everything that Yosef had been through, he still remembered his dreams. Because you know what happens throughout life? We all start with dreams. We all start with aspirations. And then there's a little something that's called life, which gets in the way. And those dreams are often forgotten. Those dreams are often obscured. You know, we learned about other dreams. Yaakov Avinu, in the beginning of Parashas Vayetze, when he's running away from the familial home, the Torah says, Vayachalom, he dreamt, Vine Sula Mutzav Artso, there is a ladder ascending all the way to the heavens, and he sees the Malachim going up and down, the angels going up and down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is perched on the top of the ladder. What was that a dream about? That was a dream about spiritual accomplishment. That was a dream about ascending the ladder of holiness and spirituality. That was a dream about spiritual greatness and accomplishment. But you know, the Sfas Emes Degei Rebbe points out something amazing. So just listen to this for a moment. The beginning of Parashas Vayetze begins with the dream of the ladder going up and down. What does Yaakov Avinu has another dream at the end of the parasha? What's the other dream at the end of the parasha? Vayi ba'is yicham atzon ve'esai nai va'ira b'chalom v'nei ha'atudim ha'olim al atzon akudim nikudim uberudim. Yaakov Avinu has dreams at the end of the parasha. You know what it's about? It's about speckled sheep, brown sheep. And the Sfas Emes says, Yaakov Avinu, oy vavoy. What happened to you? In the beginning of Parashas Vayetze, you were dreaming about ladders, angels, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the end of the parasha, you're dreaming about sheep. Not counting sheep. You're dreaming about sheep. What happened to you? And the answer is very simple. What happened to him was Lavan. What happened to him was the difficulties of life. What happened to him was the day-to-day grind, the day-to-day challenge, which has a way of skewing all of your dreams. You know, there's a story that's told about a couple who moved into an apartment. And this is one of these apartment complexes where they had fire escapes and the apartments faced each other. First morning, they're in the apartment. The wife gets up. Husband's in the kitchen reading the newspaper. And the wife gets very upset, very agitated, because she sees that the across-the-way neighbor is hanging out her laundry on the fire escape. All right, fine. But she says, the laundry's dirty. Doesn't this lady know how to do laundry? Doesn't she know how to clean the clothing? So the husband, like most good husbands do. Yes, of course, I understand your pain. Right, I understand how upsetting it is, and move on. Right? This happens day after day after day. Always complaining about the neighbor hanging out the dirty laundry. How, in the middle of everyone to see, how can you do that? Finally, one morning, the wife wakes up. She comes out. She looks out the living room window. She says, "Ah, finally, the neighbor learned how to do laundry." To which the husband says, "My beloved wife, no, I just got up a little bit earlier and cleaned our windows." You see, sometimes in life, we look at life through dirtied windows. We look at life with all of the schmutz and all of the debris that's accumulated on our life lens. We start out life with such purity of dreams and aspirations. We start out life with a desire to become something great, with a desire to be something special, with a desire ultimately, again, to make our mark on this world, to leave this world just a little bit holier, just a little bit pure, just a little bit more beautiful than the way we found it. And then what happens? What happens is life gets in the way. What happens is responsibilities get in the way. Failure gets in the way. Tragedy gets in the way. The windows get all verschmutzed. And our entire life view is skewed. So that even a Yaakov Avinu, begins dreaming about ladders, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Malachim, and at the end is dreaming about sheep. The greatness of Yosef is that despite everything he went through, Vayiskar Yosef es Chalomosav, he never forgot his dreams. How many of us have forgotten our dreams? When we were young, we thought we would change the world. As we get a little bit older, we realize, I can't change the world, but at least I could change myself. And as we get older, we like to say that we can't even change ourselves. But it's not true. We have to recapture our life dreams. We have to rekindle our life dreams. There is not one person in this room who is ordinary or regular. There is not one person in this room who should chas v'shalom settle for mediocrity or just getting by. All of us are magnificent. You know, we often think magnificence manifests itself in letters or titles before your name or after your name. Or magnificence or greatness manifests itself in being written up in a publication or online. People are magnificent in very quiet, everyday ways. Sometimes magnificent in ways that we never even know. I have to tell you an amazing story. It just happened to me yesterday. It's the end of davening, and there was a little boy who came up to do psicha for Aaron Zemiros. And he's a schmoozer, even as a little kid. He's a big schmoozer. So he looks up at me and he says, Rebbe, when will I know if I have become a tzaddik? 4 years old. His name is Natano. I said, Natano, when will I know if I've become a tzaddik? But you see, that's the curiosity. That's the aspirations we all had when we were four. You know, I had a couple who had come to me a number of months ago with a very concerning issue regarding their child. You know, they used to say, Silver, we have to come, we have to meet you, it's an emergency. I hear it's an emergency. Every time somebody calls, it's an emergency. Everybody has their own emergencies. So, okay, of course, come in. We're having significant problems with our child. Had a young son. So what's the problem? He wants to be a washing machine. I'm not making this up. He wants to be a washing machine. I said, okay, what's wrong? Well, does that sound normal to you? Our kid wants to be a washing machine? Right? My husband is Koveya Itim, he davens with a minion, I'm a chatzos lady, right? We're doing everything we possibly can do to raise ruchni children. And again, my kid wants to be a washing machine. So I really had to contain myself because I wanted to laugh. But you know, when people have a problem, even it's objectively ridiculous, you can't laugh at people's problems. So I said to this person, I said, I want to tell you something. If your child says they want to be a washing machine, you should only ask them one question. How many settings? How many settings? Do you want to be a washer-dryer combo? Do you want to be a standalone? Rinse, gentle, why? Because when your child says they want to be a washing machine, deep down what's happening inside of them is there's a piece of them that realizes they could be whatever they want. They could be whatever they want. And the last thing a parent ever wants to stamp out within a child is that feeling that I could be whoever I want to be. Obviously, we want them to grow out of the washing machine phase. And if he's doing this when he's 13, we'll meet again. But at the end of the day, you don't want to stamp that out. That's what every single parent, You want to hear your child say, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be this, I want to be that. The crazier the aspiration is, the better it is. Because that means the more wild the imagination is. And the more wild the imagination is, the greater the child is dreaming. The greater the scope of the aspirations, the wants, and the desires. You know what the greatest challenge in life is? Is that we stop wanting to be washing machines. And that we just settle for being ordinary and regular. And Yosef HaTzadik teaches us, Vayiskar Yosef es chalomosav. He remembered his dreams. No matter what life had thrown his way, no matter how many difficulties there were, Yosef never forgot his dreams. And now if we come full circle, we begin to truly understand what Yaakov Avinu was saying to Yosef. Yosef, you are my malach. Because Yosef, you stand for everything I need to be. And Chazal put this phrase in Kriyat Shema Alamita, so that every single night before we go to sleep and ready ourselves for the day to come. Hamalach hagoel osimi kora. Yosef, I need to find a way to be like you. We each have to become a Yosef in our own way. To become the kind of people who are capable of checking the baggage. Letting go of the difficulties and failures of the past. To free ourselves up to build a beautiful present and a beautiful future. We have to be the kind of Yosef who is able to live a life who recognizes, I have not been sold, I have been sent. A Yosef who realizes that we are on shlichus, each of us, in the good times and the not so good times. And we have to be a Yosef who remembers to dream. Who remembers that the sky is the limit. Who remembers that we could be whatever we put our mind to. Who remembers that sometimes I don't see life as it really is because my windows haven't been cleaned for a long time. That's what it means to be a Yosef. May we all be Zoche and Meretz Hashem in our own ways to find the Malach of Yosef within ourselves, to clean the windows, accept the shlichus, check the baggage, and go on to accomplish great things. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Great space.